Come on, we worshiping all night tonight. So I hope you're comfortable. Come on, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. We give God praise, glory, and honor tonight. Amen. Everything about you is right. That's the King of Kings, and that's the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I don't know where you're located as I'm speaking, but God is with you. Amen. God is there. He's present. And we thank God that the greater one dwells on the inside of us than he that is in this world. The Holy Spirit said he'll be with us, upon us, and in us. With us, to walk through life with us, upon us, empowering us to do great exploits supernaturally, and on the inside of us, guiding and leading and directing our lives in the name of Jesus. So we thank God. The word says, do not grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but we are in our victory series. We have the victory. Hallelujah. We got the victory. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. So victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. And we ought to act like we have the victory, even though some things may have been taken away, some things may have been stolen by the enemy. Maybe you're in a place where there was once you possessed something and you no longer possess it. We see that throughout the body of Christ, loss, things that have changed, transition, whether it's a job, relationship, career, the status of your health, but the devil is still a liar. Amen. So if we're down, Paul said, down, cast down, but not destroyed. I feel the Holy Ghost. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, if you're breathing, Les Brown said, if you can look up, you can get up. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. He said, if you can look up, you can get up. And I thank God that we can still look up to glory, look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help do come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Let us pray before we get into the word of God. Father, in your son Jesus' name, he has been given a name above every name. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. So Jesus, we're asking, as you're seated at the right hand of God the Father, looking down on this moment, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our thinking and our understanding, that you would give me revelation from the Logos, written word of God. Thank you for the holy canon of Scripture. Thank you for the word. We thank you for the Bible. Now, God, as we teach and talk and exegete your word tonight, we thank you. Because your word says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Help us not to take Scripture out of context. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just love the word of God. I love the word of God. I'm going to say it one more time. I love the word of God. And I pray that you love the word of God. If you don't love it, I pray that you like it and head it toward the love category in the name of Jesus. Because the enemy knows that if we meditate on his word day and night, like Joshua, we'll have good success. Like Psalm number 1 said, everything our hands will touch will prosper. So I thank God for the word. There's a text that I preach from on Sunday, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. We're going to begin there because God told me I'm not done with it. I'm not going to stay here too long, but there's some things I'm going to highlight or reiterate that we talked about on Sunday. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1, looking at this widow woman that received a miracle and a blessing from the man of God, found in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. I preached the word entitled, What's in Your House? But tonight, I kind of want to talk from a statement, You Got What It Takes.
Amen. Amen.
You got what it takes. Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory. you got what it takes. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1 says this. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, or to be slaves. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have you in your house? And she said, your handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow you vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when you come in, shut the door, help us God, upon you and upon your sons, and pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door. Glory be to God. Upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, or the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts and live you and your sons, your children, off the rest. You got what it takes. This woman had a part to play in her miracle, just like you and I have a part to play in the miracles and the blessings and the victories that we'll have in our lifetime. As I look throughout scripture, although God is sovereign, although God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, God has a way of allowing us who are made in his image, allowing mankind to take part or to participate in the miracles that we receive from his hand. Amen, somebody. Amen. This woman was in a desperate situation. Her husband had died. Because of such, she now is in deep debt. So much debt that the creditors, the people that she owe, is coming to enslave her children because she could not pay her bills. And she came to the man of God, reminding the man of God that my husband served God. My husband served as a prophet. My husband feared the Lord, but now he's dead. And she went to the man of God knowing, as we talked about on Sunday, and I pray that you may have the opportunity to watch the word that we preached on Sunday, that you may watch that word, what's in your house. Because we went over godly principles that produce, godly principles on how we can prosper. One of such is seed time and harvest, announced in Genesis, around the 22nd or somewhere around the 20th or 30th chapter. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. In other words, the seed principle. The tree, whether it's an orange tree, an apple tree, a pear tree, the tree is already in the seed. But that seed needs help. In the natural, it needs dirt. In the natural, it needs water. And in the natural, it needs sunlight. I'm going to say that again. In the natural, when a farmer sows the seed, or you plant seed to grow vegetables or fruit or plants or grass, you put that seed in the soil, the dirt. The dirt has ability now to help that seed to grow. But you must water the seed and water the soil. And then it must get sunlight. Glory be to God. And then you begin to grow, see growth. You see manifestation. So it is with the spiritual. Glory be to God. Life, this thing called life that we all live, sometimes can get real dirty. I wish I can get an amen right now. Life can get sometimes dirty. But as we have these situations in life, these difficulties in life, now that's the soil that God needs. It's in seed form. And the water is like the word in which we're hearing tonight. The word in God is referred to as water. And as we are watered with the word, he said to the woman at the well, I'll give you, glory be to God, I'll give you the ability to have living water springing up. Living waters springing up out of your belly. And that's the ability of the word of God, which waters us, washes us. Remember over in John chapter 15, Jesus said to the disciples that you are already washed with the what? With the word. This word washes us. This word cleanses us. When we read the word, when we hear the word, when we study the word, when we speak the word, it does something supernatural. And then not the sun, S-U-N, but the sun, S-O-N, meaning Jesus Christ. You and I can manifest great things. Getting back to the text, I started out saying you got what it takes. And when I preached on Sunday, the man of God asked her what's in her house. Because God will use, as he said to Moses, what's in your hand? What is it that you possess? Even turning the water into wine, they had the pots that they filled with water. God always used what we have to bring the blessing to pass in our lives. And sometimes the devil will have us convinced that it's inadequate, it's insufficient, it's not enough. And God says, that's just what I want to use to make the foolish things of this world to confine the wise. God uses our inadequacies. He uses our lack of qualification. He uses our weaknesses. God takes the things that man look at as insignificant or small, and God do great things with it. This woman had a pot of oil, but because she obeyed the man of God and she shut the door, you see it twice in the text, shut the door, shut the door. Help me, Holy Ghost, right now. You know, we did the most excellent way. And that's a drug recovery part of an organization that is spiritually based, Christian based. And if you're familiar with the NA principle of 7 or 12-step programs, they always talk about people, places, and things. When you're in recovery or you're trying to stay clean, you're trying to stay free of drugs, if you've been addicted to crack cocaine or marijuana or any form of drug, it said when you go into rehab, once you come back out, you have to be aware of the people you hang around, the places you visit, and the things that you participate with. People, places, and things. Now, that's a worldly organization. But the Bible says bad company corrupt good morals. The Bible says, glory be to God, we got to watch the company that we keep. There's so many people that can stop our blessings and block our blessings, and you and I have to make those hard choices, those tough decisions, those difficult moves to allow God to bless us. And sometimes people that we refuse to move away from, and sometimes it's just for a season, but we refuse sometimes to say no to certain people who get in the way of our blessing. God wanted this widow and her sons to experience a miracle, that so much so if they get into a predicament or a tight spot again, they will remember and they will be reminded of how God moved. Amen. There's a song out, if he did it before, he'll do it again. And when I find myself in a hard situation, I find myself sometimes contemplating and worrying or getting anxious and stressed out, I put my mind on rewind. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I tell people often, and people may get tired of hearing it. I say, you may get tired of hearing me talk about how God healed me of cancer, but I will not get tired of saying it and talking about it and testifying of it. I'm so glad he gave me that book to write, because I want to be reminded what he did for me 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now. I want to not forget what the Lord has done for me.
Amen,
amen, somebody. So when you know that you got what it takes, you would be the better for it, because God works in mysterious ways. And she shut the door. Her and her son saw this miracle. She obeyed the man of God, and she got a miracle. In John chapter number 10, Jesus refers to himself as a door. As a door. I want you to turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, one verse, verse number 20. When the man of God told her to shut the door, I believe that's how the miracle began to happen, and the oil just poured out, because there was no one to interfere with the blessing. Revelation chapter 3 actually is verse number 8. If you turn your Bible to Revelation 3, verse number 8, one verse, it says this: I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. Remember the declaration at New Creation Church about this year, the year of breakthrough, the year of opportunity, the year of the open door, and the year of manifestation? God has opened a door for you tonight that no man can shut. Glory be to God. And the fact that you got what it takes to take full advantage of that opportunity, the devil would try to undermine you and lie to you that you don't have what it takes. No, you don't qualify for the job, but go on the interview anyway. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. No, you're not eligible, but go and apply anyway. I don't know who that's for. No, you do not qualify, but go and try to purchase it anyway. He says, I have set before you an open door. My wife and I had bad credit, but God had already opened the door. And our pastor at the time said, we were in a garden apartment, wonderful garden apartment. He said, drive through suburban neighborhoods, drive through nice neighborhoods that you can see you and your family living in. Just drive and look at some of the houses. Look at the scenery. Check out the schools. And me and my wife began to ride through townships in this area, begin to look at different townships that we would love to own a home in. And we start to ride through and believe the man of God that someday we will own a home. Yes, we had credit that was not qualifying us to purchase a home, but God had already, what, opened the door. So by the time we got to the loan officer, by the time we got to the closing with the attorneys, by the time we got to the seller of the house who got a higher bidder, he got a higher buyer and still wanted to sell us the house, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I said somebody else wanted to give him more for the home that we live in right now, but he said, I'm not worried about the money. I want you and your family to own this home. That's the kind of open door that God has set before you. Oh, glory, receive it by faith tonight in the name of Jesus. He says, shut the door. Don't borrow a few vessels. I believe sometimes we think too small. God wants to do a big and great thing in our life. And I, for one, want to increase my capacity to receive all that God has for me. If I don't have the capacity or the mindset or the belief system already, one of my prayers is, God, enlarge my territory. Hallelujah. Enlarge my ability to believe you. Enlarge my capacity, God, to believe for greater. And God will do it. That's why he has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us that. Every time you want to do something big or do something great, start your business, apply for a loan, go back to college, do something great for the kingdom. Here comes that spirit of fear. And we know it's not from God. Amen. This woman could have let fear talk her out of what the man of God said to her. Could have operated in unbelief saying, wait, I got one little pot of oil. And you told me to borrow all these containers, all these jars, all these vessels. And you told me to get empty and don't get a few. I'm looking at all these jars around my house. You telling me to shut the door. And from that little pot of oil that I have on my stove, when I start pouring, I have to believe God that the oil will continue to pour. Glory be to God. I came to announce to you and the devil tonight that you will never run out of resources. Lord Jesus, you will never run out of supply. You will never run out of answers. You will never run out of miracles and blessings. God is sovereign. God is the all-sufficient one. God, he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. When he told Abraham, give me your son, sacrifice me your son, your only son. And then as Abraham raised the knife and was about to slay his son Isaac, and God said, now I know that you will withhold nothing from me. And he looked, and behold, there was what? A ram in the bush. Sometimes we have to look for the ram in the bush. Sometimes God will open up our eyes. If we've been unemployed a long time, he'll show us the ram in the bush. If we've been longing for a relationship, God will show us the ram in the bush. Amen, somebody. You're never insufficient with God. I told the people on Sunday, sometimes because the word says we cannot serve mammon, which is a spirit, and God. Mammon includes money, but it's not necessarily money. And the Bible says we cannot serve money and God. And our money sometimes will tell us that we cannot afford a thing, or we cannot purchase or buy a thing. And God told me to tell the people and myself, you can do all things by faith. Glory be to God. If we believe, be it unto us according to our faith. So when the devil tells you that you cannot afford that, or you cannot accomplish that, you tell the devil he is a liar. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. The next time the enemy tries to tell you what you cannot afford, and I'm not telling you to go to live above your means. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We got to live within our means. We have to use wisdom. We have to exercise caution. To God be the glory. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to watch how we spend. Learn how to budget. Please watch the word that we preached on Sunday. It's too much to go into tonight. But God gives us the ability to exercise wisdom. But here, when I'm speaking from the enemy, you can't serve mammon and God. You got, or it says one will master you or the other. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people are in love with money. Some people, we talked about it on Sunday, why people don't tithe and why some people do tithe. And it was two words that came to me. Number one, trust. And number two, value. When you know, God loves the tither and the non-tither, loves us all the same. But when you tithe, he says, prove me not. God says, test me. Put faith in me. That number one, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and hand you an opportunity. And then once you produce, I'm going to protect what you produce. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. He says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and once you produce and prosper, I'm going to rebuke the devourer that will try to take it away from you. And he says, prove me not on this. So when you tithe, when you give God a tenth, God is saying, now the 90% that I give you to live off of, I'm going to, glory, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make it sufficient. Because God, you know, I've seen both ends of the spectrum. I got an older vehicle. We now have a newer vehicle. And my older vehicle, I think it has 180,000 miles on it. And the car runs good. It runs real good. And I love it. I love it. But sometimes I see more modern vehicles. We talked to someone who was having trouble with a modern vehicle. And sometimes God says, I will stretch your dollar. I'll never forget a word that Bishop Hillier preached years ago when I was a new Christian. He said, they did so much more with so much less. And that thing stuck with me. He was referring to the generation before us. People like my mother, who only completed an eighth grade education, did not go on to high school because she had to take care of the family. She had to work in the field. She had to work with her grandmother to feed the soldiers. She had to give up schooling, and she said, I love schooling. I love going to school to learn, but I had to give it all up. And with an eighth grade education, my mother did great things. And he preached that thing, they did so much more with so much less. There's nothing wrong with PhDs and master degrees. Get your Bachelor of Science and your Bachelor of Art degree. Go ahead and have your six-figure income, but be a blessing to other people. Help me, Holy Ghost. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to the body of Christ. He blesses us to become a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. So when I say we got what it takes, God wants to take our level of education, our willing heart, our inadequacies, and he wants to do something great with it. Amen, somebody. God is an awesome God. He don't want us to think small. And let's look at Philippians chapter 4, if you're there. Philippians chapter 4, very familiar passage of scripture, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. I'll never forget when Evander Holyfield, fought Mike Tyson. And he was a big-time underdog. Mike Tyson was undefeated. Mike Tyson was knocking people out in 30 seconds or less. Mike Tyson was fighting opponents that he said, I saw the fear in their eyes, and I knew the fight was over. Mike Tyson was so intimidating. But Evander Holyfield came into the ring with Philippians 4:13 on his lapel, on his robe. And everybody was wondering around the world, what does PHIL 4:16 stand for? 4:13. And it was right here. He's a Christian. Evander Holyfield is a Christian. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was not relying on his own strength. He had what it took. Come on, somebody. He had what it took to become the heavyweight champion of the world. Although Mike Tyson was a big-time favorite, Evander Holyfield leaned on this scripture and said, I got what it takes, but I'm going to need the help of Christ. I'm going to need the help of Almighty God. Amen. If I'm going to be the champ at the end of this fight, Mike Tyson, yeah, I got some fear. Yes, he's been knocking people out in record-breaking time. But if I'm going to defeat him, I'm going to need the help of God. That's what I was talking about when the devil talks about we can't accomplish something. Mike Tyson, at the end of the fight, was the heavyweight champion of the world. Evander Holyfield, I'm sorry. Thank you, Pastor. Evander Holyfield was the heavyweight champion of the world at the end of the fight. President Barack Obama ran on the campaign saying a slogan, yes, we can. I think he got it from this scripture. I think he got it from this scripture right here. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he became president of the United States. So you and I can do all things and can accomplish great things. If you're still in Philippians, look at verse number 19 now. Verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need. What happened in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7? She had a need. God supplied her need. And in your house, maybe you have a need. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, no longer I, but Christ in me. What'd he say? The hope of glory. People of God, we see how scripture fit together. So some people say, why do the Bible contradict itself? Why is there conflict in the different authors and writers? Why does the Bible contradict itself? The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible is congruent. Every book talks about Jesus. Every book points to the Savior. Every book points to victory. We got the victory. Hallelujah. We win in the end, people of God. Heaven is our home. We overcome by the words, by the words of our mouth and our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. God is sovereign. God is awesome. God is an awesome God. Yes, He is. So the enemy tries to make us feel like we're stuck. And wherever you are in your walk right now, watch what the psalmist say in Psalm number 66. So many people backslide. So many people hearts wax cold and they leave and run away from the faith. There are so many countless amounts of people who used to go to church and no longer go to church, who used to believe and had great faith and they no longer have great faith, who used to have a closer walk with God and now they no longer walking with God because they believe God for better, and because it did not get better in their time frame, they left God. And God says, oh, we're going to go there in a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go to Psalm number 66, verse number 10. Psalm number 66, verse number 10. And it says this. For you, O God, has proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. Verse 12, Psalm 66, verse number 12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, and you brought us out into a wealthy place. I'm about to run around my own house right now. Have you been there when you've been persecuted? Have you experienced church hurt? Have you been disappointed by people? Have you ever been frustrated or discouraged? It says, God, you caused men to ride over our head. You caused us to walk through fire and to go through floods. God, you tried us as gold and silver is tried. But now you're about to bring us over into a wealthy place. Woo-hoo! I said the wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the righteous. I said your ladder will be greater. I'm speaking prophetically right now. I said your best days are the rest of your days. I'm speaking prophetically. I said, better is coming for you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. People of God, we got to expect that God is going to bless us. We have to expect that God is going to move. We have to believe the word of God like this woman of God over in 2 Kings. It said, once all the vessels were full, it said, go and pay your debt, and you and your children live off of the rest. I shared with the people of God on Sunday, I don't think that she went into the oil business. I don't think that's what God meant. I think God was trying to get her to believe in the principles of faith. When you have a problem, you have a hardship, you have a situation, God says, stop going to man. Stop going to people. Don't even go into your own way of thinking if you brought yourself out of a situation before. But it says, all of you who are weary, burdened, and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will open a door that no man can shut. I will tell you how to maximize the moment. I will give you wisdom beyond your years. I'll give you discernment and an unction that you'll choose the right job. You'll choose the right mate to be in relationship with. You'll choose, help me, Holy Ghost, right now. You'll choose the right church to join. You'll make the right decisions on your affairs. That's the God that we serve. James said it like this: if you lack wisdom, ask what? Ask God, who freely gives wisdom. And it says, don't be double-minded, but God will honor you when you ask him, Lord, what should I do in this situation? God, how should I handle this? I'm going through something right now, and I'm asking God how to move. Well, what should I do? How should I respond? How should I react? What should be my actions during this situation? And he's revealing to me. He's answering me. He's responding to me. He's showing me. He's walking me through. He's giving me methods and strategies. And that's what God would do. That's how God operates. Nobody knows you. I said it yesterday. How can the clay say to the potter, I don't like the way you made me. I don't like what's going on. No, we go to the potter. We go to the one that formed us and shaped us. And we ask him. We ask him. And we come to him. Glory be to God. So God is saying, you and I have what it takes. You and I have everything that we need. Glory be to God. So this woman got a miracle from God. God is on his way, and God is taking you and I into that wealthy place. Sometimes we wonder in the body of Christ why things go why things don't go sometimes the way we want them to go. My Bible tells me, when we produce, and you will produce, you will prosper, you will be successful, but it says when we do produce, God has a way of pruning us and purging us that we will be even more productive. Wow. And the pruning and the purging is sometimes painful. I don't know who that's for tonight. Process. Process. We get the victory over poverty, but there's a process. Write these four words down. Write these four words down. If you're taking notes, if you have a pen, if you have your laptop, if you're taking these, write these four words. As you write the word process, as you write the word prosper, as you write the word productive. Number one, we have to be persistent. Number two, we have to persevere. Number three, we have to be patient. And number four, we must pray. Persistence. What does that mean, Pastor? That means doing the same thing consistently. I'm going to church every Sunday because that's a lifestyle. That's what we Christians do. I have a regimen. I'm tithing. I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to prayer. I'm persistent. I'm consistent. It's ritualistic. You can call it religion. You can call it religious, but they're religious practices. I do this. This is what I do. This is how I live. I'm persistent. You can expect this from me. We have to be persistent. We can't do something one way, another way, and then change up. We have to be persistent. And then we have to persevere. Paul says, I press. I press toward the high mark of the high calling of God. Sometimes you got to push your way. Sometimes you have to press your way. Sometimes you got to persevere. That means I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not, Remember they were washing their nets? Remember they gave up on fishing because they toiled and they fished all night and caught nothing? Matter of fact, go there real quick. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at an example of persevering. Persevering. Luke chapter number 6. Glory be to God. Luke chapter number 6. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Luke chapter 6. Verse number, I don't want to read too much. Luke chapter number 6. Look at verse number. No, that's not what I want. Is that what I want? Is it Luke 5? Glory be to God. Yeah, Luke 5. I'm sorry. Luke number 5. Luke chapter number 5. He's talking to the people. He sees two boats. They're washing their nets. They gave up on fishing. Peter, James, and John, they were partners, they were fishermen. And look at verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's or Peter, and he prayed him to thrust out into the deep. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking to the people, he said to Simon, launch out to the deep and let down your net for a catch. And Simon Peter answered and said, Master, we have toiled, or we have fished all night and have taken in nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had did this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish and their nets break. And the story goes on to read that they caught so many fish that both boats began to sink. Peter, James, and John, and all the fishermen saw this miracle, but they persevered. They did not give up. And the Bible says, after this miracle, they forsook all and followed Jesus. They persevered. That woman with the issue of blood, she persevered. She pressed. She pushed. Patience. 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 Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isaiah chapter number 40. Talking about patience. Isaiah chapter number 40. This scripture was in my spirit. My wife and I was watching Franklin Jinks's. I can never pronounce his name. Franklin Jinks. I can't pronounce his name. Franklin Jensen on TV, TV evangelist. And he just happened to open his Bible. And he said it wasn't part of my scripture, wasn't part of my notes. And he opened it to Isaiah chapter number 40. And this scripture was there. And he ended this word in this scripture that talks about patience. Look at verse number 28. Has thou not, no, just go on to verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increase strength. Even the youth shall faint and get weary. Young people even get tired and get weary. And the young man shall sometimes fall. Verse 31. But they that what? Wait patience upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is saying to you tonight, you're not going to faint. You're not going to get weary. You're not going to get tired. Be not weary in well doing. You will reap a harvest if you faint not. You will not faint. You will not give up. You will not quit. You will receive your harvest. Get your reaper out. It's time to reap. It's time to bring in the harvest. It's time to believe God for manifestation. It's time not for us Christians to go back or shrink back or fall back. But we got to believe God by faith that we have what it takes. In the name of Jesus, he asked Moses, he said, what's in your hand? It was only a staff, but through that staff, he parted the Red Sea. Through that staff, glory be to God, he struck a rock, and the people of God drank from a rock. Through that staff, he swallowed up all the snakes, all the scorpions, all the venom snakes from Pharaoh's army. He swallowed them up with that staff in the name of Jesus. Through that staff, Moses seen great miracles. God is saying to you tonight, what's in your house? God is saying to you tonight, what's in your hands? God is saying to you and I tonight, finally, what's in our head? What's in your house? What's in your hands? What's in your head? Let me say it a little differently. Who's in your head? I pray that you're meditating on the Word of God day and night. I pray that you believe that your level of education, your qualifications, what you can do and what you cannot do sometimes is irrelevant. Your weaknesses are often irrelevant. Yes, we got to work on personal development. Yes, we should always be improving and bettering ourselves. Yes, we should read books. Yes, we should go to seminars and workshops and forums. Yes, we need to go to church because faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. But sometimes God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. So God's grace will get it done. But I reiterate, you got what it takes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that we got to believe in ourselves and believe that you and us can get it done. God, you plus us is the majority. You told that woman not to borrow a few. So you're asking us to have great faith on tonight. You're asking us to think bigger than what we've been thinking, to want bigger, to expect bigger. God, help our unbelief tonight. Help those areas that we doubt you in. Help those areas of unbelief, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that with man, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Good night, people of God. We love you. Please sow a seed into New Creation Church. We really do need your participation in the area of giving. We thank God that God is adding to the church. We now have a keyboard player, a drummer. We're believing God for next, and we're believing God that he's going to do some great things with the ministry, with the technology and state-of-the-art equipment. We're just believing God for so many things. We even still have our mindset on our own building one day. So we're believing God for greater and bigger. So if you can sow $20, $10, $100, whatever it may be, whatever the Lord put on your heart, we would just kindly and gracefully receive your offering into New Creation Church, because you're sowing into good ground and to good soil. So we thank you in advance, Pastor Rebecca and I and the New Creation Church family. Thank you for your faithful giving in the name of Jesus. Join us at 1482 Maple Avenue on Sunday, 12:30 start time is our service time. We're in the middle of our victory series. We believe that we will have victory in every area of life. You're never defeated. You might be down, but you're not out. So don't let the devil lie to you. But come on Sunday. We have a word from the Lord for you. Bring your family. Fill your car with people. Bring somebody to church on Sunday, and it's going to be a blessing. God bless you. Good night. Love you. God bless.